Giddy up out there. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up out there. 305-567-0560. Got Mike Florio coming up. And also Penny Hardaway, head coach of Memphis, will join us later in the show as well. Right now, though, we want to check in on the text machine. Zach, what do you got coming in?
Someone said, don't bet on for with your betting guy. Ohio State's going to run up the score in Indiana. Yeah, we're just talking about that during the break. Like, that was the most interesting part of that segment to me, the fact that he's buying the Indiana, you know, Kool-Aid right now against Ohio State of all teams.
He called it a one-score game in the fourth.
Right. Boy, that would not be something Ohio State wants.
So,
huh?
I guess you guys, you want to do it, Woody? Go ahead.
You said it to him too, which was kind of funny. they don't recruit the same guys. We know.
By the way, completely different group, right? What Ohio State's recruiting, which by the way, oh, they just got a commitment for the top quarterback in the country.
Number one quarterback, right, right. 2022, yep.
Well, he wasn't going to Clemson. They got the damn number one guy from last year. They're not right.
They Jeez. Switch off, right? They
They're
switch
switching
off,
off. By the way, you don't think like, what do you think Alabama's looking at as far as like top quarterback? Soon as this guy's gone, like everybody's having success at that position.
Right.
I don't even know how good this guy is. Can anybody tell me how good the Alabama quarterback is? Because now I hear he's a top pick.
Right.
When I say top couple of rounds.
Well, I mean, we went from having, you know, two guys, maybe a third guy in the first round, to having like six guys in the top 40 now at quarterback. Like what? Like guys we never heard of before. The BYU guy, everybody. It's crazy.
I got to tell you something. This Zach Wilson, now we're getting away from our text messages. Like, God, I hate when I do this. Zach Wilson, where'd he come from? Like, I played with Mark Wilson in the East-West All-Star game. I played at BYU as a first-round pick, I believe, of the Oakland Raiders at the time. I actually asked you, like, you got to look it up. Is that his kid? Because where the hell did Zach Wilson come from? Now they're saying, hey, man, he's right there at the top of the board over anybody, just about. Not being disrespectful.
Wait, Joe, you're right. I think you're right. His father, former Utah defensive tackle. Oh, Mike Wilson. No, sorry.
No.
You're out. But he did play football. There you go. So you're close. Famous Jake Scott story off the text line after playing a game with casts on both wrists. Quote, I really know who my friends are when I need to go to the bathroom. End quote.
Who did he say that?
Someone texted that in about Jake Scott. Wasn't that...
That was Jay Brophy.
Right. Wasn't that Brophy with the thumbs?
Yeah. Jay Brophy did have broke, and we were like, he had cast on. He used to always, some would break down, and he'd cast up, and he'd go out there. And then one day he shows up with two full casts on his hands. And you know the first thing we're all thinking as we go to practice, like, bro, like you eat a lot? Like, who's doing the wiping, man? I mean, not to get into your personal stuff. He goes, I got a girlfriend. He said, you got a what? A girlfriend wipes your butt? Come on.
Good girlfriend right there. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. What else you got?
Yep. Someone said, excited about tonight's high school football, IMG and Troop Prep Academy at ESPNU. How about that? Crowder making his debut tonight on national TV.
I'm happy for Channing because I know Channing's thinking right now there's a way to slow him down. I just want to say to my really, really good friend, our good friend Channing, you guys aren't recruiting the same player. IMG's like that's a different, like, listen, I know they want to play and give their kid, and they got a couple of kids that could play for IMG. They do. They've got some good players, and I don't want to take away from the party, but do you see what IMG's been doing to everybody that will play them?
Yeah.
They can't play for states. They can't play for anything. Bottom line, and now they can travel nationally because they're not under the same guidelines. It's I wouldn't play them. And Channing's going, you're a chicken. All right.
Channing will play anybody. Right.
I want to see what it looks like. I do.
Yep. You will tonight. The Jedi text in, do you guys think Antonio Callaway is going to play this Sunday against the Broncos? And how long do you think Preston Williams is going to be out? Because this could be an interesting group of wide receivers for Tua once they're all together and healthy. I'm just saying, also rest in peace to the original number 13, Jake Scott.
That's right. Jedi. Good call. Jedi, Antonio Callaway, when he's ready to play, if he gets back to the way he played and was running around as a rookie for Cleveland, they can't keep him off the field. But if he's not that guy and he doesn't move like that guy anymore, then or he doesn't know what he's doing, that's the other thing. Like, this team doesn't look like they make mental mistakes, right? We never look out of position on either side of the ball anymore. So, as long as he knows what he's doing and he's back to what, like, they're going to have to play him at some point.
Yep. Got to see what he's got, you know? Hopefully it'll be another diamond in the rough, right? Even after a couple little diamonds in the rough for him the last couple of years. Coach Flores, is Coach Flores getting any publicity for Coach of the Year? It looks like a landslide on my behalf. I'm stuck here with Mike McCarthy. It looks like a Dallas fan.
Well, listen, Coach Flo has just done an unbelievable job. Like, nobody's going to question
He's in the
that.
Running. He's but in the running for Coach of the Year.
Coach Tomlin's undefeated.
Right. That's a problem. You got a team that's 9-0 right now.
That's all I thought. Yeah. And honestly, overall, I mean, you're undefeated. You're really good, but that's a hell of a story. I didn't see that coming this year.
No, I don't think anyone did at this point. Plus, you have a couple other teams that are really good, still 8-1 or 7-2. So you never know. But he's got to be in the conversation. That's for sure. No doubt about that. Let's see what we got here. Another guy said, why is it when you guys talk about Dolphin rookies, Joe, you never mention Brandon Jones? We did the other day, didn't we? You brought him up when we were talking about
him up. Listen, he's made a few plays, but yeah, Brandon's playing in some of the different defensive packages that they have. He's been a really good tackler. He's got, you know, he is playing. He's one of the guys playing. If I haven't talked about him enough, I'm sorry. But he is also getting snaps. Strobridge, they're all getting a play. So I think the biggest thing with him is coverage has got to get better. And we'll see. But he is playing some, man. He's a tackler. Yep. Been a really good tackler. Hey, Zach, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff that we'll jump on here coming up here. Mike Florio is going to join us. We'll go around the National Football League. Then we'll switch it over to little Penny Hardaway and find out, a really good scouting report on our first round pick for the Miami Heat. That's all coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour.
All right, Joe, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. It is Friday, a football Friday, so we're going to talk to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Happy Football Friday, Mike. Always good to speak to you.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Mike, we're doing great. Are you kidding me? We haven't won five straight in a long time. Going for the sixth straight win down here. So what are your thoughts on Coach Flores and the team concept and what he's getting out of everybody, offense, defense, and special teams over this last month or so?
We were trying to think earlier this week of when a team has turned itself around as dramatically as the Dolphins have. And the only team that quickly came to mind was the 1999 St. Louis Rams, a.k.a. the greatest show-offs on turf. They were 4-12, and Dick Vermeil was on his way out, and they signed Trent Green to play quarterback, and he tore an ACL in the preseason, and in comes this grocery bagger that nobody had ever heard of in Kurt Warner, and somehow they go all the way to the Super Bowl and win it. Not that the Dolphins are destined for the Super Bowl, but when you consider the shape they were in last year, the first half of the season, and what they've done since then, it's remarkable. And it's hard not to root for it. And I admire what Coach Flores has done. Also admire the fact that he's one of the few Bill Belichick assistants who has managed to not try to be just like Bill Belichick, consciously or not. You know, if you're in that nest for 15 years, it's difficult to not become Bill Belichick in some way or behave like him in some way, even if that's not how you are.
Right.
Flores is true to who he is, and he's not trying to be anyone other than who he is, even though he was with Belichick for all those years when the Patriots were thriving and he was learning how to do it the way that Belichick does it. So I'm impressed by the authenticity. I'm impressed by the success. And anxious to see how it plays out this season for the team.
Mike, regarding Flores, I know there's a certain coach in Pittsburgh who's undefeated right now, but where does Flores kind of sit right now, possibly in Coach of the Year rankings?
Well, Coach of the Year is always determined by the extent to which a coach exceeds whatever the generally accepted expectations were going into the season. And that's always kind of a loose gut feeling. What did we expect the Dolphins to be? What did we expect the Steelers to be? Now, look, if the Steelers finish 16-0, Tomlin's going to get all 50 Coach of the Year votes. Right, like Bill Belichick did in 2007. That's such a rare feat, you have to get it if you finish there. But let's say the Steelers go 13-3, which would mean going 6-3 down the stretch, which seems inconceivable at this point, given that they're 9-0. But they're not even 6-3. What would it be? What's my 4-3? Even harder to imagine.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing to think how good they are right now and what 9-0 means to your long-term full-season record. But let's just say they go 14-2, right? Let's say they go 5-2 down the stretch, and the Dolphins win the division. I think Flores is the Coach of the Year. If the Dolphins win the division and the Steelers don't go undefeated, I think Flores is the Coach of the Year. To finally put a button on the point that I am struggling to try to articulate, that would be my assessment of Coach of the Year.
I thought you were counting in playoff games and stuff there. I was just gonna let you go. Hey, Mike, real quickly, Jets 0-16. Or Steelers 16-0? What's got a better chance of happening?
Probably Jets 0-16, because if they don't beat the Chargers this week, I think that's it. That's that. 2 weeks to get ready. The Chargers, a team that always finds a way to shoot itself in the foot. And Adam Gase and company, the way they played against the Patriots the last time we saw them, that gives me hope that they can maybe find a way to overcome the Chargers. And also, how can Justin Herbert win a football game with that haircut? Have you seen the haircut?
Yeah. Brian Flores gave him that haircut, didn't he? That's what it looked like.
River Phoenix in Stand By Me. Hey, guys, do you want to go see a dead body?
Right. Jeez. What happened? He had such nice hair, too. What happened?
Oh, man, he lost the
bet. I think it was a little delayed hazing. I think it was a little hazing.
Well, I hope he scored big points with his teammates, because that's a bad look to be in L.A. with that, whatever he did to himself. That's just that's bad. Hey, Mike, real quickly, this Antonio Brown, bring it right back down here to South Florida. Incident before he signed with Tampa Bay, and now I see his head coach is getting tired of talking about it and people asking about it. What, the league do anything, or is he good to go? Do they talk to him, or are they just, like, tired of this, just let him finish out the season?
Well, the way the league has constructed the personal conduct policy, it can do whatever it wants, whenever it wants, however it wants. So we don't know what the league wants to do. If the league wants to throw the book at Antonio Brown, it can, for a couple of reasons. It's a new incident. It's a fresh incident. They can investigate it, and they can come to the conclusion that he's violated the personal conduct policy again, and they can suspend him. They also can say, if the report from NFL Media, which is owned and operated by the NFL, is accurate, that the league didn't even know about this until it first surfaced in the Miami Herald earlier this week, they could discipline Antonio Brown for failing to report an incident. Even if you're not arrested, the way that the policy is written, the duty to report is very broad. And my guess is, I don't know this, but my guess is at some point someone from the NFL said to Antonio Brown, if anything else happens, you better let us know. And now there's a question as to what the Bucs knew and when they knew it. And that was where the press conference kind of went off the rails a little bit yesterday for Bruce Arians. Not that it went off the rails to the point where he had hair dye running down his face, but it still went off the rails a little bit where he refused to talk about Antonio Brown. Look, Arians says they knew about the October 15 incident when they signed him. The statement the team issued after the report surfaced does not make that point. It says we are aware, not that we were aware. And if the Buccaneers were aware and they didn't inform the league, they have a separate problem. I don't know. I think the motivation right now by the NFL is, the hell with all this extraneous crap. We have to get the games in before COVID-19 shuts us down. So my guess is they're not going to mess around with it. But I'm pressing the league. You know, here's how the league deals with me. If I ask them a question that they're happy to answer, they immediately answer it. If I ask them a question that they don't want to answer, they ignore me. And they forced me to ask the question again. Well, this morning I asked the question again, and I've marked my notes to ask again this afternoon if they continue to not answer me. I want to know what the league knew and when they knew it, what the Bucks knew and when they knew it, and whether or not the Buccaneers made the report. Because if you're going to have this policy and you're going to enforce it fairly and consistently, you can't just enforce it whenever you feel like it.
Yeah, I agree with you. They just, with COVID-19, Mike, that's exact my thoughts. Like, the last thing they want to deal with right now is this whole thing and whatever went into his little private development where he's had nothing but problems down here in Hollywood. So you're probably right. Hey, Zach and I were talking, speaking of Zach, this Zach Wilson thing from BYU, Mike, where'd this guy till a few weeks ago? And now, like, these mock drafts got him at the top of the board. Like, where'd the guy come from? Like, how did this and when did this happen?
Well, I don't know, and I haven't been paying any attention to college football this year because there's so many games that are canceled and the season starts late, and it just doesn't feel real to me. And I think this year has exposed, not that there was ever any doubt or that there shouldn't have been any doubt now, that it's just a money grab by the schools, and it becomes more and more problematic when you admit that because the players don't get paid. But I don't know. The pre-draft BS apparently is starting earlier than usual. And there really will be a benefit in obfuscation this year if there's reduced film and scouts aren't going to know who to take and when to take them. You're going to have some busts that go a lot higher, and you also are going to have an opportunity for the people who know how to properly scout to get some great players later than they otherwise would have gotten them. So that's going to add layers of intrigue to the draft when it happens in late April of 2021.
Mike, it worked for Teddy Bridgewater last year, Jameis Winston in New Orleans with a little tryout, and he's going to get a tryout for the next couple of games here as long as Drew Brees is out. What are you expecting to see from Jameis coming up in these next couple of games? Do you think this will work for him too, getting a contract possibly going forward next year?
Well, I still don't know how much Jameis Winston we're going to see. There's an assumption that we're going to see him as the starter because he came in last week when Drew Brees got injured. But he was the backup for that game because Taysom Hill has the Taysom Hill package. He's not the number two quarterback for that game. He's the Taysom Hill first string option. When you look at the depth chart, last year Teddy Bridgewater was number two. And when Drew Brees got hurt, Teddy Bridgewater took over. This year Taysom Hill's number two. So I don't know what we're going to see. And Sean Payton has done a great job of keeping it quiet, of keeping everyone on board with not saying anything about who the starter is going to be or how the reps are going to be divided. I'm impressed by that because I think every time a coach tries that, and my recollection is it fails because someone says something to someone who says something to someone who says something to a media member who reports who the first string quarterback in practice was. We don't know, and I don't think we are going to know until Sunday. It could be both guys. It could be Winston. It could be Hill. But if it is Winston, you know, the last time we saw him as the starter in Tampa, it was against the Falcons, and he was throwing an interception in overtime that ended the season and ended his career there. He gets a chance against the Falcons to prove that he's learned how to iron out the mistakes and to get the most out of his abilities. And it makes a game that otherwise would just kind of like, bah, Saints-Falcons, bah. It's one of the more fascinating games of the weekend now.
Hey, Mike, are you a Hill fan? Because we all the old guys sit around and talk about this guy because he plays recklessly. He's fun to watch. But there's no way this guy can stay healthy playing that way if he becomes a full-time quarterback. Would you agree with that?
Well, look, we hear all the time that, you know, quarterbacks need to avoid contact. And, you know, Tua's on the injury report this week. And I talked to him after the game on Sunday about how many hits he's taken. He says, I've already taken enough and I don't want any more. And Taysom Hill embraces that. He's got that bull in a china shop mentality. And look, I don't know if he can stay healthy, but I know that in the playoff game against the Vikings, he was the best player on the field for either team.
Yep.
And we've heard Sean Payton hype this guy as a potential Steve Young type of a player, which is incredible praise for a guy who's that unproven. Look at what they've paid him, $15 million guaranteed on a two-year contract. And that, the fact that he's not the no-brainer automatic starting option, it's odd to me. And it makes me wonder what Sean Payton's really up to, and it makes me wonder whether or not Sean Payton's really sold on Taysom Hill as the post-Drew Brees option. Maybe he's thinking, if I can get more out of Jameis Winston, he's a better candidate to take over the team than Taysom Hill.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, well, Mike, you got another story to put on ProFootballTalk.com in the next couple of minutes. The Browns just came out and said Myles Garrett now on the reserve COVID-19 list. They just announced that
on
Twitter just now, as you were just making your statement. So that's another big name to make this list this week. Like you said, we heard this morning, Manny Diaz, the head coach of the University of Miami, announced it on Twitter as well, that he tested positive for COVID after his team had a scare over the weekend after their game, and now they've canceled games for a couple weeks. But, yeah, Myles Garrett, newest addition to the COVID-19 reserve.
More to come. There's no question about that.
Keep this in mind. Keep this in mind, too. The NFL's approach is guys are going to get it, and our goal is to, kind of draw a circle around them, remove their close contacts, and get those guys out of the building. That works as long as it's just one guy. But when it's two and three and four guys, and that's going to happen, especially after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is going to be a nightmare scenario once the dust settles, because nobody's listening to the CDC guidance to not travel, and people are going to get together in these mini super spreader events. By the middle of December, it's going to really be a challenge for the NFL to keep this going, because the NFL's approach doesn't work if you have five, six, seven guys in the building who are positive. You remove those guys and anyone who was in close contact, and you're not going to have anybody left.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
On that note, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Mike, wish me luck. I got the big family. Wish me luck. They're all here anyway. You take care of yourself. Thanks, Mike.
All right. See you guys.
See you, Mike. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Yeah, right as Mike was answering that last question, the Browns and Ian Rappaport came out also. Ian Rappaport's tweet was, the Browns erred on the side of caution. Myles Garrett stayed home feeling sick. Now he's on the COVID-19 reserve list and out for Sunday.
Hey, Zach, you think it's bad right now? I'm with everybody else. People aren't just making this up. After everybody gets together for Thanksgiving,
I know.
It's going to bleed right into the NFL. It is. It's going to, more people, and, they're going to try to coach them up like, hey, it's coming up next week. We're doing great. We're a pretty healthy team. The only thing that can really slow us down is this COVID-19 getting inside this locker room and inside Davey, and you guys, and you're going to coach them up. You can tell them, but kind of like, you got a week off, guys. Stay out of South Beach. It's nothing but trouble. I know you got free time. And that old talk. Now it's the COVID-19 talk, and it's around Thanksgiving, and yet I think a lot of people are getting together for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I do too. So, I think that people are finally sick of sitting in their house, and they're going to do it on Thanksgiving.
So
I think you're right.
And hopefully, I personally get lucky. I'm looking to get lucky and dodge a couple of bullets, and hopefully everybody in the family will too, man, and we're all good and ready to go out there, and everybody else is too during this crazy time. Good news is, looks like we got a little something to take care of it here in the near future, hopefully, right? Vaccine, and we'll be ready to go. But I want to thank Mike for spending some time with us this morning and talking about all the different things. By the way, something else is going on we haven't talked about at all? Did you see who saw Tony Romo got paid a lot of money and is looking to get paid?
It
leaked out. So there's no question Jim Nance is like, this is crazy. I do everything. I'm sprinting from basketball to the Masters, doing these games as your number one team. And Tony Romo's making three times what I'm making? Are you freaking kidding me? And all he's got to do is these games.
What was he making, 6.5 or 6.7 or something like that? Isn't that what Nance was making?
Well, so I'm curious. He's really good at what he does.
Guy's the best at what he does.
Big. I don't know where. I got to bring in Hollywood, our insight. Where does Jim Nance?
No, you can't do that. Yeah.
No, this is what he does.
Jim Nance is all alone on top.
Is he? Good.
Yeah, he's the best sports broadcaster there is. I mean,
No, I was being dead serious because some people like Buck, and I didn't.
I do like Joe Buck as well, but I just think Jim Nance is kind of on his own level. He's the best sports broadcaster we have in the country.
Well,
makes $6.5 million a year. That's a contract annually.
And by the way, Tony Romo, you could throw his ass out and put anyone else in there with him. The game's still going to sound great with Jim Nance doing it. So I don't even find Tony Romo to be particularly important.
I'll tell you what, I agree. Nance makes the broadcast, not Tony Romo.
It's so funny because people love Romo. I saw know. The like lately everybody's been ripping the color analyst on these games for not telling the truth when the play's bad and stuff. And they go for Tony Romo. Like I was like, wow, okay. So like everybody loves Romo because he predicts plays before they happen, and that pisses the old guys off. Like you need to stop doing that, dude. Like, well, here comes the blitz. Oh no, it's not a blitz. And all that. So anyway, Jim Nance is like, look, I like Romo, and I'm glad everybody likes our team.
Yeah, but can you imagine sitting next to Romo in that booth knowing that right now he's making about $11 million more than you are? $10 million more?
And I'm guessing that Tony Romo's not the only former quarterback that can sit up there and diagnose plays like before they happen, right?
Well, how many of them want to do that? How many of the great ones want to get out there and really – like Peyton Manning – we know he's got he'd be the highest paid guy if he wants to do it.
Yep. Not even a question.
But he doesn't want to do it. It's pretty clear he doesn't want to do it. And he studied and watched and still does it and still gets paid on the side. But he doesn't seem like he really wants to. That's pretty interesting from both you guys. So you think Romo's Nance a little overrated. You think it's about Nance, huh?
I think on that broadcast, Hollywood's 100% correct on that it's all about Nance. You could basically listen. I like Nance when Nance was Sims. You know, it's not like, you know, that broadcast, you know, it's not like, oh man, Tony Romo, so much better than Phil Sims. Baloney.
So the Buck thing, and I know we got to go in a sec. The Buck thing's interesting because, so Buck's a baseball guy originally. His father was unbelievable and he's done it, but he's not very good at golf. And Jim Nance is like, you know, poetry in motion, man. That guy is really fun to listen to for that perfect atmosphere of the golf, PGA golf.
Right.
I wasn't sure how to say that, but he, you know, he's smooth and all that stuff. And then the football, I don't know if people like Buck or Nance better, just purely at the one thing they both seem to do pretty well. You like Aikman or Romo better?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Doesn't matter. They're interchangeable.
All right. Romo like all day better. Over eight. Oh,
do you really? I think
yeah,
I
like Romo
better
than Aikman. Yeah.
You like Romo better because he's with Jim Nance, which is a better pairing.
Yeah, if Aikman was with Nance, maybe.
Because Nance
be
is so much better than Buck. I mean, Nance is the best by far.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm with Hollywood.
You see how strong that came out here?
Yeah.
That was strong.
Conviction.
Stuff. Boy,
with
you
that
are.
Argument.
By the way, someone just texted in, Manning's too busy giving Adam Gase recommendations to even
be a He just talked to him. He goes, Adam, I don't have any more I can do. They're going to start hanging up on me. I need a job down the road, too. Right. Who do you want me to call next? No. Oh, I can't do it. Listen, you got 8 years of head coach money. You're great. I figure maybe between 40 and 45 million by the time the Jets are done. You're fine. You and a wife can do whatever you want the rest of your life. Hey, we got Penny Hardaway. Head basketball coach for Memphis Tigers talking about Precious and how precious Achiuwa is going to be when he gets here. That's all coming up next.